It's that time. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. This is the gospel according to John, chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. And this is the word of God for the children of God. Please be seated. In the during the first service, I had a conversation with the Lord. I have those from time to time, just like it's kind of like a time out. God says, "I want to talk to you." Well, I looked out at everybody sitting out here like as I am looking out at all of you now. And I asked myself, why am I here? Why am I here, God? What is it that you want me to do with everybody? Because I'm certainly not here for the money. With all the years I've spent in higher institution of learnings, I could do something making a whole lot more money than what I'm making here. But it's a calling, and I am here because God called me to be here, and so I asked, why am I here? God said, you're here to love the people, to love them into a loving relationship with Jesus, so that you will walk with and talk with Jesus every day of your life, so that you will feel such a hunger, such a overwhelming desire to be with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you'll want to share him with everybody, and that you'll want to go out and tell somebody else and keep telling them until they walk with Jesus and love Jesus the same way, until they go out and tell somebody else and they tell somebody else. That's why I'm here. And it takes a whole lot of work and energy and planning and mistakes and correcting mistakes and all kinds of stuff to make it work, to make disciples of Jesus Christ. I just want all of us to have our eyes opened so that we're not blind. And I tell you, speaking of being blind, can you imagine what it must be like to lose your sight? I want everybody to close your eyes real tight for a moment. Keep real, real tight. Keep your eyes closed. Some of you are looking at me. You can't look at me if your eyes are closed, right? So if you close your eyes, just imagine being like that now for the rest of your life. Imagine not being able to see the face of your children or your loved ones. Imagine not being able to see the colors of these windows. Not to be able to see the birds flitting back and forth, the mountain range, the clouds, the sun, the moon, the stars. Imagine not being able to see your food, TV, hunting. Nothing. Okay. Now, that would be a horrible thing. But at least you would have memories of what you did see, of what colors were like, what beauty there is to behold. Imagine now being born blind. having never seen, never ever. You don't have a clue to what colors look like. You don't have a clue to what is hilly, round, sharp. I mean, just only, you can only go by what you feel. Yeah. I can't imagine never having ever seen. What do they dream about? I asked the question in first service. I asked Bonnie last night if she could tell me. I don't know. I don't know anybody that's been born blind. What do they dream about? How do they dream? What mental pictures do they have when you're telling them about something? What frame of reference? And if you know, I'd like you to tell me, you know, because I don't know. I don't know which is worse, to have seen and lose your sight or to never have had it. Either way, a pretty horrible thing. In the Bible, nobody who's ever been born blind has ever had their sight healed, restored. Can't say restored. They've never been given sight. There's never been a miracle of that until Jesus heals this blind man who was born blind. Jesus healed a lot of people, restored their sight. He healed people of a lot of things, right? In Mark chapter 8, there's a blind man who comes to Jesus and wants healed, and Jesus spits on his eyes. And he says, what can you see? And the man says, I see people. They look like trees walking around. And it says that once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Not just physically, but spiritually. He saw everything clearly. In Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52, there was a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was sitting alongside the road, and he heard all the commotion. He heard the people talking, saying, here comes Jesus, here comes Jesus. He'd heard the stories about the miracles and everything. And he started crying out, Jesus, Son of David, heal me, have mercy on me. And he cried out louder and louder the closer Jesus got. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people were there trying to tell him to shut up, shut up. And Jesus came over to him, said, what can I do for you? And Bartimaeus says, I want to see. And Jesus simply said to him, go your way. Your faith has healed you. And Bartimaeus stood up and he could see. His sight was restored. And then he followed Jesus. He spit on the first guy, then laid hands on his eyes, told the next guy just to get up and go, just spoke the word. And then this fella here, who was born blind, who didn't even know who Jesus was, nobody had ever told him about Jesus. This fella here, the disciples and Jesus come walking by him, and this always gets me. There's, let's say Brian's on fire. Okay, his flames are coming up, his clothes are smoldering, you know. And we walk by him and we say, oh, look, Brian's on fire. Where do you think the fire started from? Well, I don't know. Somehow his clothing caught fire. Yeah, I really think that, you know, do you think that it hurts or anything? Well, I don't know. Do you think he did something bad? Really? Why? Sermon title, why is not important. Why he's on fire is not important. What to do about it is. Right? Put it out. I mean, he's still hot stuff to you, Keila, but you know. Put it out. And that's basically what Jesus is telling these disciples. The disciples walk by this man who's born blind, and how do they know that he's born blind? Does he have a sign on him? Is part of his begging, does he say, I was born blind, help me? Or are there people standing there who know him that say this man was born blind. Doesn't matter. The disciples want to say, they're saying, why was this man born blind, Jesus? Was it because of his sin when he was in the womb? Or is it because of his parents' sin? Or some sin that he would commit later in his life that God made him born blind? See, because it was the common belief in that day that if you did good, you were blessed. So if you did bad, you were cursed. So if you had an affliction, it was because you did something wrong. You sinned. Jesus said, listen, it's neither. Don't worry about that. He said, I'm the light of the world, and this is for the glory of God. I'm going to prove something to you and to this man. And he makes some mud. What's with the saliva? Well, it also, a belief, a custom in that day, was that the saliva of a righteous man or of a king had healing power. That's what they believe. And so Jesus makes some mud, you know, out of the dirt we were formed. And he puts that mud on the man's eyes. This man's eyes, who had no idea who he was or what was going on. And he tells the man, go wash in Siloam, the pool of Siloam. Interesting. Well, the man doesn't know what's going on, but here's a chance he might be able to see. So he's going to do what he's told. And he gets up and he does this simple thing that he was told to do. He goes and he washes his eyes, the mud off. And when he does, he can see. He can see for the first time in his life. Can you imagine what that must have been like? To all of a sudden see colors and animals and people. To look around and see how good looking people, well, most people are. But to look around and just to see the beauty of life. Sunshine and clouds. For the first time in his life, to start putting names to things. And people say to him, who are you? You know, because the guy we knew, he was blind. And you're like, man, you're just like all on fire. You're just, wow, wide awake and looking at everything. You can't be the same person. And he says, I'm the guy. How'd that happen? Jesus put mud on my eyes. That's his name. I don't know who he is, what he did. I mean, he put mud on my eyes. I washed it off, and I can see. And word gets back to the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they get all upset about this. They drag the parents in. They say, listen, is that this guy that's going around saying Jesus restored his sight? They're saying that he was born blind. Nobody's ever healed somebody who's been born blind, is it? Well, that's our son, and he was born blind. And they said, but he's saying that Jesus healed him. And if you agree with him, and you're going to spread that too, we're going to kick you out of the church. And they said, listen, he's old enough. You ask him for himself. You ask him. And so they asked the guy who got healed, who did this to you? Some guy named Jesus. Put mud on my eyes, told me to wash it off in Siloam. I did, and I can see. And then he said, well, that's not right. You know, he just can't be doing that on a Sabbath day, making mud his work, healing somebody. That's work. You're not allowed to do that on the Sabbath. He's awful, obviously a sinner. And the guy says, listen, he says, why isn't important? All I know is that I'm healed and I can see. And Jesus is the one who did it. Well, where is he at? Well, I don't know. See, he didn't see him. He never saw Jesus. Jesus put the mud on his eye, sent him to Siloam to wash it off. He washes off the mud. He can see, but Jesus isn't around. He has no idea what he looks like. And so the Pharisees kick him out of church. You're excommunicated, pal. We don't want you around here spreading that story. And when he leaves, Jesus looks him up. Asked him what happened. He tells Jesus. And he says, I don't know where he is. He says, I'm the one. And this man finds salvation through faith in Jesus. If Jesus had just given the man his sight back and then left, what would the man have learned? Nothing. But what the man did learn was to participate in the grace of God, to actually take a step of faith. 2 Kings chapter 5. There's a great general named Naaman. Maybe you remember this story. It's one of my favorite stories. This general was he was in charge of the armies of the king of Aram. And he was a great general, very, very smart, won a lot of battles, but he developed leprosy. And so everybody had to keep their distance from him. Leprosy will eventually kill him. It was a debilitating, terrible disease. And he's got this leprosy, and he's still this wonderful general. And he has a servant, a young woman who was captured from Israel. And she says to Naaman's family, "Listen, I know of a prophet in Israel who can heal Naaman, can heal him." And so they tell Naaman, and Naaman gathers together some servants, his family, and he takes soldiers, and they go to Israel. And he takes with him a bunch of clothes and money to give to the prophet. And he pulls up outside of Elisha's house, and they announce that he's there and why he's there, because they had sent a letter to the king. And he's sitting on his horse or in his chariot, and he's waiting for Elisha to come out and command the leprosy to be gone. And Elisha sends out his servant, Gehazi. "Go out and tell Naaman to wash himself 7 times in the little old Jordan River." And Naaman gets bent out of shape, because Naaman doesn't want to do this. He says, "Why should I do that? We've got bigger and better rivers at home, and I'm a great and powerful man, and he should... This prophet should come out and just command this leprosy to be gone. I'll pay him for it, and we'll be on our way. That should be all that has to be done. I'm leaving." And his servants and his family beg him to stay, and please just do what the prophet asks you to do. And so he does. And the 7th time that he washes in the Jordan River, when he comes out, his skin is like a newborn baby's. The leprosy is gone. The mud was put on the eyes of that blind man to give him understanding, to participate in the grace of God that was going on in his life. The more we walk with Jesus, the more we become like him. And so when there's an altar call, us coming up to the altar isn't to make the preacher look good, but us coming up to the altar is an act of faith on our part, so that we will break the pattern of this world, so that we will step out of our comfort zone and choose to become more like Jesus, so that we'll go and wash in the pool of Siloam when we come to the altar rail. It is our step of faith. Raising our hands during church. We don't do that in the Methodist Church. Raising our hands in the United Methodist Church is scriptural, because the Bible tells us to lift holy hands. And when we do that, when we're praising and worshiping God, we don't do it to impress anybody else around us. And it makes us feel uncomfortable, because as soon as you put them up, the devil's saying, "Everybody's looking at you." But it breaks us from the pattern of this world and moves us out of our comfort zone into the presence of Almighty God. It helps us participate in what's going on in our lives. Just like that man who was born blind had to participate. When we are asked to get involved in ministry, we don't get involved in ministry and do good things through the church, with the church, in order to earn our way into heaven, because that's not how it works. Only through faith in Christ are we saved. But we do the good works because we are saved. It is our step of faith to become more like Jesus. It moves us out of our comfort zone as we give up our time and our talents to do something for Almighty God. We put a smile on God's face by doing what Jesus told us to do. This man who was born blind participated because he was told to out of obedience. And it led to his meeting with Jesus, and a foundation had been laid about what had happened to him, and he understood now, and he accepted Jesus. See, because there's a lot of people who will not take that step of faith. There are a lot of people who come and sit in these pews and will not do anything more. They're not going to raise hands. I mean, you could start off here, you know, next week maybe here. You can kind of work your way up. You know, sneak one in every now and then. Praise God. Do it at home, laying in bed. Raise your hand. See what that feels like. It is scriptural. It is good for us. It is our step of faith. Because you can sit in the pew all you want, but if you never do anything, if you never take a step of faith, well, put it this way. If I park my car in an airplane hangar, does it become an airplane? It doesn't. And if I park myself in this church, does it make me a Christian? Nope. You know, any Muslim, a Hindu, or whatever could come in here and sit. We have to take that step of faith. And that's what this story is telling us. Let those who have ears hear. The question you have to ask yourself is, how do I get the mud off my eyes? What is it that God is calling me to do? What is it that God wants you specifically to do with your life? God loves you, and so do I.